Good morning, Melissa. It is morning. It's been a very long night trying to watch the eclipse between
the
stars.
Did you watch this blood moon eclipse last night?
I ended up cheating because of the weather and doing the streaming video that was online.
Okay.
So I was technically a part of it.
And so what caused that exactly for people who haven't been following it?
Well, in astronomy, eclipse simply means one thing is blocking another. And in the case of a lunar eclipse, it is actually Earth doing the blocking. And so it's almost better to think that the moon is passing through Earth's shadow cone. And we might wonder, why doesn't the moon just disappear? But Earth has this atmosphere that acts like a prism and refracts that red light, giving the moon that blood red color.
Pretty interesting to see and different. But of course, your main focus today is on the real red planet, Mars.
Mars, the Mars opposition. It almost sounds like a political party. We oppose Mars. We don't want Mars to be a planet anymore.
It does sound... I didn't even think of that, but you're right. But what's it really all about?
Well, opposition is another fancy term in astronomy that you can think of as being in a straight line. I think it's easy to remember that when we say opposition, that means something is on the other side of the sun. So when we say Mars opposition, we have the sun, the Earth, and then Mars in a straight line when viewed from above. Another way of saying that is when it's noon on one side of the planet, Mars is going to be right on the meridian at midnight on the other side of the planet.
And so how can the average person get a gander at this and see it for themselves?
Well, Mars, by being in opposition actually yesterday, let me take that back, was it opposition on April 8th? We were at closest approach yesterday. And the reason that you might wonder, how can those two things be different? We have to look at the three-dimensional aspect of it. The orbits are tilted slightly. So from above, we are at opposition on April 8th. But because one is also rising and the one going down a little bit is seen from the side, we are at closest approach yesterday. But Mars is now going to be a very bright point in the sky, rising right at sunset and being on the meridian at midnight.
How do you incorporate what's happening with the orbits of these planets into your educational efforts at the Museum of Science and History, the MOSH?
Well, you know, with our new Media Globe system, we're the largest digital single-lens planetarium in the country, and we were able to simulate the eclipse. We're able to talk about Jupiter, which is now just to the west of the meridian after sunset. We're able to look at the Mars opposition and do computer graphics to show these things. So it's we do very current, real-world, this is going on right now, activities in the planetarium.
What's the reaction from people when you break it down for them?
What I really think is it takes something that's abstract, something they've only read about, and saying, this is real, this is going to be happening tonight.
And I can tell that it just lights you up, Tom. Nothing excites you more than explaining this and just checking it out yourself.
Yeah, unfortunately, with all the electricity we have today, we're losing touch with the night sky. We don't have a relationship with it like our ancestors did, and I want to help people recapture that. We are part of the cosmos, and we're finding ourselves being cut off from it.
It is a shame. Light pollution. And how would you rank Jacksonville in terms of the issue of light pollution?
Oh, downtown, very, very bad. You can maybe only see a handful of the brightest stars.
We've got a call, meanwhile, for the MOSH's Tom Weber about the Mars opposition. John is on the line quickly. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. Last night with the eclipse, there was a planet just below the moon, and there was a planet way to the right of the moon. What planets were they, please?
I don't know, but I know you know, Tom. Thanks, John, for the call.
Yeah, we actually have, for the planet viewers, of course, Jupiter and Mars were right in the evening sky. Saturn is rising at about 2 in the morning, and then Mars and Venus in the very early morning, just before twilight.
Okay, I hope that answered your question, John. And on another note, you're a very busy guy, Tom Weber, running the planetarium at the MOSH, but somehow you have found the time to get married.
We're going to go there.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, a little bird tells me you're getting married this weekend on the Bridge of the Enterprise at Farragut Films in Kingsland, Georgia. It's going to be a Star Trek wedding. That, of course, is the film set up in Georgia that produces original Star Trek episodes. Tom?
Yes.
I have to ask this.
Yes.
What are you wearing on the Bridge of the Enterprise?
Oh, am I going to be in uniform? You know,
yes.
The families are still a little uncertain as to which way that one's going to lean, but rest assured, I do have a closet full of them ready to go if the mothers-in-laws give a thumbs up on that one. We might be pushing them a little too much on how creative we're being with
this. And your fiance, your bride, she's equally excited about this?
She is also a...
She's a science teacher.
She is a science teacher. Yeah. She's a science fiction fan. She's more of a Whovian, where I'm a Trekkie, so it's going to be an interesting union, I think.
But a very happy one. So all the best to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much,
and
Melissa.
I have to say it, live long and prosper.
We hope. We're going to go boldly.